Having clean, safe drinking water is something that many of us take for granted, especially since in Michigan we're surrounded by 20% of the world's fresh surface water. But even in the Great Lakes region, clean drinking water isn't guaranteed, as news stories this month out of Flint and Waukesha, Wisconsin prove. Here to talk to us about that news and more of February's biggest environmental stories is Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. Gary, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. And as we start, you know, I've been looking back at my notes over the past year, and we first talked about the Flint issue in January, and that's January of 2015. So a year later, it's still playing out.
We've been on it, and doing no small part to you, I will add. The Flint water crisis has been described as a failure of government at all levels, city, federal, and state, but the Federal Environmental Protection Agency says that Flint and the state of Michigan are still not doing enough to respond to the crisis of lead in the drinking water. Gary, what are the EPA's main concerns here?
Sure. The EPA is very interested now. You know, after exercising its emergency authority in January under the Safe Drinking Water Act, EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy told Governor Snyder in a January 21st letter, a very tersely written letter, I might add, what her concerns and expectations are now for Michigan. And they relate primarily to compliance with the EPA's requirements on monitoring for lead. They want to make sure, the agency wants to make sure that Flint has qualified people managing its water system, and also concerning transparency. Then in a subsequent letter, McCarthy sent to Flint Mayor Karen Weaver, and that was just this past week, McCarthy questioned if Flint has personnel who are qualified to implement a recovery plan. So EPA is now invested in making sure Michigan gets Flint's recovery right, and it has put Michigan on notice.
And the EPA is now also asking to review any plans for lead pipe replacement, which has been a hot topic. Why do they want to be more involved there?
Well, from a technical perspective, EPA is concerned that Michigan and Flint have a comprehensive plan versus one that's piecemeal. They want a plan that incorporates corrosion control and pipe replacement. Now, no surprise, there's a political component to this. EPA is now in charge. It can no longer plead ignorance. It's on the hook for results, and it doesn't really have anybody to blame from this point going forward. Mm. I've also noticed that EPA is trying to shed its insular image a bit. It's launched a social media campaign. My Twitter feed is full of EPA tweets now that are replete with pictures of smiling and diligent EPA technicians in homes testing for lead. So EPA owns the Flint water issue now, and it wants control.
And while the EPA has been voicing all of those concerns we've talked about, Governor Snyder's been critical of the EPA. What exactly has the governor been saying?
Well, the governor is concerned. He fired back in a press conference last week, saying that he had taken ownership of his and Michigan's failings, but the EPA hadn't taken responsibility for its part in the Flint crisis. He said he wants to work towards solutions. You know, you've got a very positive governor. The relentless positive action. But he also spoke candidly. He said he hoped investigators would dig and ask EPA the tough questions about its role in Flint.
Does he have a point? Is the EPA not claiming responsibility that it should be claiming?
Well, I agree with the governor. If you're working with someone, you need to trust them to be responsible, and Snyder doesn't have that trust of the EPA right now. EPA enabled the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality's action for a year. It got to the point that Virginia Tech professor Mark Edwards, sort of the resident expert on this whole issue, told Congress recently that EPA had, and I'm quoting, aided, abetted, and emboldened the DEQ. So now EPA parachutes in, giving out directives like it wasn't part of the problem, and there hasn't been a hint of a mea culpa from EPA. So that's a tough picture to look at. Governor Snyder's task force is set to release its final report next week, and I had contact with Task Force member Chris Kolb from Ann Arbor, and yesterday he told me that their report will be released probably next week, and it'll look at EPA's role. Now, to date, this task force has pulled no punches, so hopefully it'll shed some light on EPA's role and bring clarity to it.
We're talking about February's biggest environmental stories with a focus on Flint and the fallout from the Flint water crisis with Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. How do you think this tension between the state and the feds is impacting the efforts to actually help the people of Flint?
Well, it can't help. In a crisis like this, you want all the parties on the same page, and that isn't happening. You know, in spite of differences between the state and Governor Snyder and Flint, I think they're trying to work together, and EPA doesn't seem to be a part of that team. It's more focused on supervising and criticizing where it deems the criticism is warranted. You know, they all need to set aside these political agendas and work for the common good of Flint residents. There are multiple investigations in process that I hope will sort out the blame issue. Right now, all the parties just need to get on the same page.
Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders will be making their way to Flint for a Democratic debate 2 days before our state primary. Do you think that the water crisis in Flint's going to influence the platforms of any of the candidates running for president?
Unfortunately, Mark, I doubt it. Unless a presidential candidate, be it Sanders or Clinton, Donald Trump, whoever, unless they make a specific campaign pledge to spend the hundreds of billions of dollars that needed for water infrastructure, and I'm emphasizing water infrastructure in this country, having this debate in Flint is about moral support for Flint residents, and that's a good thing. But then it just becomes part of the political posturing, and not more than that. Post the debate, this political circus will fold its tent and go on to the next primary state. So absent, very specific action that they're proposing, I don't see a lot of good coming out of this.
An election on the other side of the border is impacting the progress of a proposed nuclear waste site about a mile from Lake Huron. This is in Ontario. And the possibility of having a low-level nuclear waste site at that location has been on the table for a while now. But the election of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, appears to have changed this discussion. What's happened?
Well, the Prime Minister Trudeau and his Environment Minister, Catherine McKenna, have listened to all those opposed to the Lake Huron storage site and slowed down the process. They've postponed a decision for 2 months to request more information from Ontario Power, so they're taking a closer look at it.
Are opponents of the waste site more hopeful to see their permit denied?
Well, they're cautiously more hopeful, Mark, but here's the difficulty for Trudeau. He's inherited a process and a de facto decision that's been in the works for more than a decade. So if he says no to the Lake Huron site, where does the waste go? If he says yes, he's damaged his environmental credibility early in his administration, and he's ruffled some feathers with people in the U.S. who are adamantly against the site. He's in a tough spot.
Finally, let's talk about Waukesha. That's the Wisconsin city that's requesting a diversion of drinking water from Lake Michigan. Last week, representatives from the 8 Great Lakes states gathered in Waukesha to talk to city officials and representatives from the Wisconsin DNR, which has already given the application the go-ahead. What do we know about what happened at that meeting, Gary?
Sure. It was one of those formal kick-the-tires-and-look-under-the-hood sessions for the 8 Great Lakes states and the 2 Canadian provinces that have to weigh in on Waukesha. Representatives from the states did site inspections and were able to question Waukesha officials about the request, which is part of the process as we enter the home stretch here.
And how likely is Governor Snyder to approve the application? Do you have a handle on that?
Boy, that's a good question, Mark. Prior to Flint becoming a public health crisis, my money was on Governor Snyder to approve the application. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has been courting him for 3 years on this issue. Now, politically, it's very difficult for me to see Snyder approving Waukesha unless he feels his water legacy is damaged beyond repair, so why not? But I don't think he'll do that. But as you know, Mark, you've been around for a while. You make predictions at your own peril.
Well put. We've been talking about February's biggest environmental stories with Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. Gary, thanks as always.
Always good to be with you. Thanks, Mark.
And this segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org. That's ECHO, by the way. greatlakesecho.org, and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.